War Babies, written by Annie Murray, read by Annie Aldington. Chapter 1. November 1930, Floodgate Street, Birmingham.
It's a hovel. Nothing but a filthy hovel.
The words forced out through Peggy Mills's lips, full of bitter resentment. Rachel, a sturdy 5-year-old, clutching a floppy old doll, looked up at her mother with anxious grey eyes. Peggy was a slender woman of 30, her frizzy brown hair fastened back under a hat with a narrow brim, and a thin face with a waxen complexion. Her usually pretty features were soured with rage at the sight of their new home. In her arms, as they stood there in the winter dusk, she was hugging the last remaining bundle of their possessions.
"It's even worse than..."
She whispered the words. But even so, Rachel could hear the intensity of her bitterness.
"Look at it. A slum. What can it be like inside? Verminous. Oh..."
There was a shudder in her voice.
"I can't bear to go in. My God, look what he's reduced me to. I'll be begging on the street next."
It was the last in a row of mean back-to-back terraces, crouched hard up against one of the soaring blue brick arches of the viaduct. As they stood there, a train rumbled deafeningly overhead, raining down smuts. The window frames were caked in soot and grime, and the bridge cast the place into permanent shade. They had walked here, from the comfortable villa in which they'd lived in Sparkhill, along the busy Stratford Road towards the middle of Birmingham. The further in they progressed, the more closely crammed together were the factories, the tiny dark workshops and cramped, rotting dwellings. The air had thickened, smoke and fumes filling their nostrils. Along the streets, through the chill afternoon air, came the clang of metal against metal, the drone and roar of machines whose heat sometimes breathed dragon-like in their faces as they passed the factory doorways. Male voices could be heard shouting over the racket of machines, and the wheels of carts clattered by on the road. The cold air was gritty and sour with a mixture of smoke and metallic dusts, sharp with chemicals, and ripe with the stench of horse manure trodden into the cobbles and refuse piled in the crowded back courts of houses. This was the old quarter, called Derrit End. People passed them in the gloom, some eyeing them curiously, others with heads down, wrapped up in their own business. White breath streamed from them in the cold. Peggy flinched away from anyone who came too close. All she wanted was to get safely inside where prying eyes could not see her, or guess that she might be the wife of that man named in the newspapers. But now that she was in the front of the house, she hesitated, looking fearfully at it.
"I can't bear to open the door," she said. "God knows what's behind it. And I don't suppose there's even a nub of coal in this godforsaken hole."
As they stood there, a man emerged from an entry along the street and moved towards them with an odd shuffling gait. He was small of stature and dressed in black. As he drew near, Rachel shrank back closer to Peggy, seeing that the man had a terribly misshapen face, distorted by a hare lip. Brown, angry eyes fixed on them from under his cap. Peggy tried to move away, reaching for Rachel's hand. The man addressed them, barking out a series of abrupt sounds that made no sense. Saliva hung in a string from one corner of his mouth.
"Get away from us,"
Peggy cried, her voice shrill. Rachel felt her mother's fear in the sharp tug of her hand, pulling her frantically towards the house, which suddenly seemed like a haven.
"Come on, get in,"
she hissed, shoving the door open. Leaving the man still addressing them, mystifyingly, they almost fell inside and shut the front door, a row of parched and nibble-edged planks somehow hanging together, hard behind them. After the shadowy street, the gloom was even greater inside, the cold even danker. At first, there were the smells, long-dead ash, a rank vegetable odour, and underlying all of it, a stink of damp.